And that's what we're going to look at tonight. This is one of the most uplifting psalms, especially here at the beginning. A lot of people consider it to be a prayer. And you know what David is going through in his life. You know who he's up against. And some even say that this is whenever he was fleeing from Absalom. Some said that it was whenever he was fleeing from Saul. Others said it was when the other countries were rising up against him. But we find ourselves looking at a man of God here who was desperate for help. And so many times in our life, we find ourselves in places where we are desperate for help, where we are desperate for guidance, where we are desperate for leadership. And we sit back and scratch our head. At least I hope y'all do, otherwise I'm the only one. We sit back and scratch our head and wonder, what do I do now? Where do I go from here? What is the meaning of all of this? Ain't that some deep questions? And it's easy to stand up here and say that God is the answer to all of it. Because that's the Sunday school answer, right? God is the answer to all of it. Just look to God. Look to God. Look to God. Telling somebody to look to God is taking the easy way out. And I've heard that all of my life, and I'll argue with anybody that just answering, look to God, trust Jesus, follow the leadership of the Spirit, that is the easy way out. Because that is a very generic answer. And yes, it's correct, but it's a very generic answer that really don't get you any further out of the wilderness that we find ourselves in so many times. But whenever we go to people for help, a lot of times what we need and often don't get, and I've been guilty of it myself when people would approach me, is what we need is we need Scripture. We need Bible for encouragement. Yes, somebody can say look to God and you can look up and you can look for God, or you can go get in your prayer closet and you can look for God, or you could go get in your study and open your Bible and look for God. Next time you find yourself in a wilderness and being overwhelmed and confronted at every turn, February the 20th of last year, I was talking to a friend of mine on the phone, and I asked him the same questions. Where do we go from here? This is absolutely crazy. This is absolutely insane. This is beyond what I could ever even think of moving on with. It's frightening, it's scary, and frankly, it's overwhelming. To the point of you sit down and you cry out to God. But so many times, especially in those of you who are school teachers, you know whenever you give the kids a test, you give them the answers to. You keep the answer key on your desk, preferably covered up so that they don't find it because they have to take the test on their own. And whenever we are tested by God, and the Bible says that we read Sunday night that we shall suffer persecution. Whenever we're tested by God, the answer, I believe the answers are in His Word. The answers are contained within the Bible. The encouragement that we need is within the Bible. The strength that we need is within the Bible. The wisdom that we need is within the Bible. And Psalm chapter number 3 is the chapter that this particular friend of mine referred me to. We lost our house on the night of February the 18th, morning of the 19th. And on the 20th is whenever he called me and he said he didn't want to take up much of my time. He just wanted to send this verse of Scripture to me. And he read it to me over the phone. I didn't have a Bible in my hand at the time. And he read it to me over the phone. And we're going to read it tonight in its entirety. Psalm chapter 3, verse number 1. Lord, how they increased that trouble me. Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God, Salah. David found himself in a place that he had many enemies and they were all bigger than him. He found himself in a place that there were so many people that hated him, so many people that didn't want anything to do with him. And then in verse number 3, and we'll conclude with this verse, he says, But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory and the lifter up of mine head. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. God, we love you. God, we thank you for all that you've done for us. Lord, we thank you that your wisdom is contained in your word. God, that your strength and comfort for us is contained in your word. And God, ultimately, that through your spirit, Lord, you can speak to us through your word. And Lord, we thank you so much for it. And as we open your Bible tonight, God, we pray that you would speak to us through your word, through your spirit. God, help us so we would have a willing and accepting hearts. God, above all, that we could be strengthened in spirit for your work. God, that we could live for you each and every day. Be with us tonight. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. And we don't know exactly what David is facing, but we know he's facing a battle, not an earthly battle. This is not whenever he was running up the hill to Goliath. This is a spiritual battle. This is a place where he finds his enemies risen up against him. His enemies are bigger than him. His enemies are stronger than him. His enemies are more powerful than him. And a lot of times, especially whenever you get good news, you're always waiting for that second shoe to drop. You're waiting on the but. Because good news is very seldom just good news. Oftentimes it comes with a but. And now David is saying that my enemies are increased, my enemies are risen up. There's a pile of them. There's many which say to my soul, there's so many people that's mocking and looking at me and saying, there is no help for him. He is done. He is alone. He is finished. He is in a hole. He is by himself. He might as well be covered up. Got one foot in the grave and the other on a banana peel. There's nothing anybody can do for him. Verse number 3, David said, But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, and my glory, and the lifter up of mine head. Oh, I wish people still talk like that. Thou art a lifter up of my head. David said that whenever these things come around me, and whenever these things surround me, and whenever these things overwhelm me, God, you are my shield. Though the world may look at me and believe that there's nothing to me, that there's nothing... There's nothing to our God. Our God is still our shield. Whenever people would go to battle, especially back in during the Roman times, they had three different types of shields that they used primarily, especially in the Roman era. One was a shield of wood. Now, anything that you do to wood, it leaves an impression. So whenever somebody would throw a rock or throw a spear or hit a sword and it would bang against that wood, it would leave a mark on that wood every time. Because most of the wood was made out of pine, fir, something soft. It was very seldom something like oak, something dense, something heavy. Because they wanted the shields to be lightweight. They wanted them to be able to swing them around and carry them with ease. So every time you hit the shield, you saw it where it hit. You saw the hole it punctured. You saw the dent it made. You saw where it hit. The second type was made out of both wood and steel. So it was a wooden shield. It was surrounded in steel. It had strips of steel going down the middle. It had a big ball of steel in the middle of it where you could push somebody away. But everywhere that arrow or that spear, that rock hit that wood, you could still see the indentions, the impressions. The third type of shield that there was a solid steel shield. Now this was the type of shield that the man stood before Goliath and held on to. Because these shields were heavy. These shields were stout. And there wasn't much that a person could do if he had to hold this particular shield in his hand. They weren't made of the thin iron. They were made of steel. And whenever an arrow would hit this shield, it wouldn't make a very big dent. And so the soldiers would come back from battle, those that used the wood shields. And the shield is all tore up and everybody looks at him and said, "Whoo! You must have been in the thick of it." And then they look at that guy with the steel shield that didn't have much on it. And they said, "Oh, you must have stood in the back." The truth is, he just had a stronger shield. Does that make sense? Y'all understand the metaphor? Whenever God is our shield, it don't always look like from the outside that there's a lot coming at us. The world don't know our story. The world don't know what's going on inside our head. Sometimes that's a good thing. The world don't know our circumstances. Most of the time, we don't even know each other's circumstances. But God is our shield. And He's a whole lot stronger than steel. He said, "Thou art a shield for me, my glory, and the lifter up of mine head." Paul says in the book of Romans, and it's the second shortest verse in the Bible. Does anybody know what it is? Second shortest verse in the Bible. It's going to be a question on the Valentine's Day trivia board. Get ready. It's in Romans. He says, "Pray without ceasing." It's the third shortest. "And rejoice evermore." Rejoice evermore. How in the world can we find ourselves in a place that we can rejoice evermore, knowing good and well that we're going to bury loved ones? Knowing good and well that we're going to suffer heartache. Knowing good and well that everything in our life ain't going to turn out the way it's supposed to. That we're going to cry, that we're going to hurt, that we're going to scream, that we're going to beat our fist into the ground in anger. That all of these things are going to come upon us. Knowing all of this, how does Paul expect us to rejoice evermore? And it says it right here. "But thou, O Lord, art my glory. Forever and ever and ever." If God never did anything else for us, for those of you who are saved this evening, He has done enough. Verse number 8 says, "Salvation belongeth unto the Lord, and thy blessing is upon thy people." The blessing of salvation is enough to keep us going. The blessing of a hope in heaven is enough to keep us going. And a lot of times it may not feel like it. A lot of times it just hurts. It absolutely hurts. Yesterday, I took my mama some duck eggs early in the morning, and it was still, 16 degrees. And I took her the eggs because I didn't want them to freeze. And as I was leaving, I walked out of their back porch, and they have concrete everywhere. Well, just like it is out here, the water that, that ran off the house that night before it started freezing had made its way down to the concrete area. And it's not particularly flat, because flat concrete's easy to walk on, but this concrete was angled just a little bit. So whenever I hit that angled concrete, gone. I fell, I hit my butt, I hit my head, and I slid all the way down it. And it hurt. Big old knot on the back of my head. I got home and Bailey kissed it for me. Sure did. You know it still hurt. It did. Her kissing it for me didn't make me feel better. It warmed my heart. It really did. But it didn't help that pain in my head. It didn't help it. None. Later that day, I went out to work on a generator for an elderly couple. Their unit wasn't working, and they were trying to get heat. And I went out there, and the older man, he's got dementia now, and he didn't really know what he was doing. He put ceramic tile all the way around the generator so that he didn't have to weed eat. So I was walking up to this generator. The first one I stepped on, I felt it, and I knew. I remembered that knot on the back of my head, so I didn't step on it with both feet. I kind of moved it to the side, and I stepped on the dirt. Well, that next foot that I put up there slipped out from under me, and boom, head first into the generator. Hit both of my knees on the concrete pad, both of my elbows on the generator, and my head on the generator lid. So now the back of my head and the front of my head, all within an hour. So I get their generator going, and they write me a check for coming out, and it didn't make me feel no better. So Bailey kissing it didn't make it feel no better. Money didn't make it feel no better. Sometimes pain just has to go away. Sometimes it may stick with you for a while. My knees have been snap, crackling, and popping ever since it started getting cold. And from what my grandpa says, that's pretty much forever from now on. Some things may stick with you, and the pain of loss and the pain of suffering and the pain of what people say and what people do and how people can hurt us and how the world can rise up against us and how they, that are verse number one, how they increased, they are increased that trouble me, how many rise up against us, all of that can hurt for an extended period of time. But there's always a but. Always. Verse number 3. "But thou, O Lord, art a shield, my glory, and the lifter up of mine head." No matter what we find ourselves facing, the pain is going to hurt. God's not going to take it away completely and totally. But He's going to sit there like your mama would do. If you were to fall and hurt yourself or skin your knee, she's going to pour peroxide on it and watch you scream. But she does that because she loves you. Then she's going to put a Band-Aid on it, and then she's going to kiss you, and she's going to pick you up, and she's going to... Well, most of you are older, so she's not going to do that anymore. But she would. She would pick you up, and she would hold you, and she would rock you, and she would hum and sing to you until it was all better and it all went away. Because that's what mamas do. That's what love is. And that's what God does. The pain still hurts. The enemies are still there. But God is our shield. God is our glory, our reason to rejoice, our reason to keep our head up, and the one who picks our head up. Because whenever we get to the point that we start having a pity party, you know what God calls that? A selfish rebel. That's what having a pity party is. It's selfish because we're focusing on ourselves and not on Him and what He can do. And it's a rebel because God said to trust in me. Right? God said to put our faith and trust in Him. God said to deny ourselves. And so whenever we begin to find ourselves in a position as David found himself in here, "Oh Lord, how they are increased that trouble me, how my enemies may rise up against me. They say that there is no help for me from you." They're saying all these horrible things and they're hurting me. They're bigger than me. They're stronger than me. But you are God. But thou, O Lord, are a shield. Let's continue down. We may not get through all of this tonight, but I do want to read it tonight. Verse number 4, "I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and He heard me out of His holy hill. I laid me down and slept," and look at this, "and I awakened, for the Lord sustained me." We seldom find ourselves in a more helpless state than a state of sleep. Does anybody ever remember falling asleep? No. You remember the last moment you were awake, but you don't remember falling asleep. And though some people may dream, and Bailey, she talks in her sleep now. I used to walk in my sleep up and down a flight of stairs, walking in my sleep. We're not awake. We're not conscious. We are completely 100% vulnerable to everything and anything. Especially if you're like me. I could sleep through a freight train driving through the house without a problem. I was better at it before kids come along, but we sleep heavy. And whenever we find ourselves in a state of sleep, whenever we lay down to sleep, whenever we awake, the first thought goes through our head should be, "The Lord sustained me." It shouldn't be trying to fight and find that snooze button, or trying to get a hold to our phone so we can change the thermostat, or try to find our slippers because that floor is cold, or thinking, "Did I forget to load the coffee pot because I don't smell coffee?" Our first thought should be, "The Lord has sustained me at my most vulnerable. At my weakest point, at my weakest place, God got me through. God took care of me." And He's using this as an example here. And He goes on in verse number 6, and I love this verse. He says, "I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about." Now, you can find the most famed warrior in the world, and you set 10,000s of people around him, he's going down. You can set a man in a no-win situation, and if he's by himself, it's truly a no-win situation. But whenever we have God on our side, understand that there is no such thing as a no-win situation. The only no-win situation that a true Christian that is obedient of God and His Word can find himself in is whenever he refuses to believe God's Word. That's the only way we lose. That's it. It's the only one. And David saw that. He said, "There may be a slew of people all around me that have set themselves against me, but I look unto the Lord." Verse 7, "Arise, O Lord, and save me. O my God, for thou hast smitten all my enemies upon the cheekbone, and thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly." Ain't that great? You don't read that very many places in the Bible. God, you've not just whooped them. Y'all remember in the Old Testament where God sent a blinding light upon the people and the enemy actually had to lead them home? That was God showing out, showing exactly what he could do. But he says here that whenever the enemy sets himself against God, whenever an enemy sets himself against God's people, he said that the Lord will fight for us. He said, for thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone and hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. You go read through the Old Testament, especially especially in Judges and Kings, about how God fought for his people. God didn't always just put a wall between them and say, hey, y'all go home. You're whooped. You're done. He didn't do that. God had some creative and oftentimes some violent ways of dealing with those people who rose up against his. Several instances, he set insects and animals upon them. He loosened their bowels, and they just died just like that. He sent a hornet amongst them, piles of hornets amongst them. He turned them blind. He turned a man upon his brother, turned them against themselves. God worked all of this against people that rose up against his nation, against his chosen few, against them who called God, God. In verse number 8, it says, salvation belongeth to the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people, Salah. The whole world can turn against us, and God never will. The whole world can say, I'm going to whoop you, and they're never going to be able to. In our weakest, in our most vulnerable, in a place that we cannot help ourselves, God has promised that he is there, that he will surround us, that he is our shield, that he is our glory, that he is the lifter up of our head, that he is our reason to praise, he is our reason to pray, he is our reason to live, he is the reason for all of it. He is our strength whenever we are weak. God is the one that we look to. If we start looking on ourselves, if we start looking on other people, then we're disobeying him. God said, look unto me. Paul said, lean on the brother. It all comes back to the gospel contained in 66 books. It all comes back to God. And whenever we find ourselves fighting a battle that we think we can't win, go read Psalm chapter number 3. Because David was in a lose-lose situation, and God won him all the way out of it. Well, we have a verse of Psalm. We're going to take this opportunity for prayer requests this evening.